you've been working with Toni Morrison on a project for a number of years now. Her piece Desdemona will be performed in London at the Olympics. And I wonder if you could just kind of tell the story behind that. I know that the two of you had a discussion about Othello, whether it was relevant or not.
Yes, for me, Othello is one of the worst plays ever written. It was way past its use-by date. So I got into a big argument about that with Toni Morrison. She said, it's a very great play, and you have to reread it, and in fact, I'm challenging you to do a production of it. So I actually did do a production with John Ortiz and Philip Seymour Hoffman. We did it in the first year of the Obama presidency, and a play written 400 years ago about a black man rising to the highest position of any black man before or since. Suddenly, this incredibly irrelevant play turned out to be very to the point, in a kind of very shocking way. And Toni Morrison was right.
Peter Sellers says after he accepted Morrison's challenge to direct a production of Othello, he asked Morrison to write a piece answering Shakespeare's Othello. It's called Desdemona.
And in Shakespeare, the women barely get to say anything. Nonetheless, for Toni Morrison, the ideal woman is not silent. Actually, the ideal woman has a lot to say and says it very well. What Toni has done, as again with some of her other projects, is she has opened a space called eternity. And she's allowed the dead to speak. And so Desdemona is now an older woman speaking from the other side of the grave. Desdemona marries Othello on a Wednesday and he murders her Thursday night. You know, it's 2 days, Shakespeare's play, and she's a teenager, and there's just not a whole lot of reflective time. So what Toni Morrison has done is to say, let's give this woman time and space in which to learn.
Are you glad that Toni Morrison asked you to read the play again?
Yeah, I learned a lot.
The Lyric Opera of Kansas City recently staged a production of Nixon in China, and I know that you were involved with the Metz production that many people either saw in New York or here in Kansas City. They might have seen the screenings that are in movie theaters, and I was just wondering what that was like for you to revisit that production so many years after the origination of it.
You know, 30 years ago, we set out to make opera for our time and for our generation, and I think now, 30 years later, you can see that that's what Nixon is. That's kind of great. It's really opera that belongs to us. It's our time. It's our lives, our stories. We know these people. It's not opera as something exotic and strange from the other side of the universe. It's completely recognizable. And you can enjoy it with incredible, in all of its detail and in all of its, you know, wonderful little touches that you would miss mostly in The Marriage of Figaro because, you know, you're not really up on the French Revolution. Whereas, you know, we really are, China is very much on our mind every minute, and China is no longer some weird foreign place. It's our banker. It's, you know, every single thing you touch was made in China. Everything you're wearing is made in China. China is now so completely part of our lives that Nixon in China is opera as something that is absolutely part of the texture of our lives. And it does have one of the greatest librettos ever written in the history of opera. It's just hilarious and weirdly touching and philosophically tender and profound, unexpectedly. You know, and I think that's what's so great is the depth of it doesn't come in an announced way. It sneaks up on you in a beautiful way. You suddenly realize you're in a very, very deep place. And that's what music and poetry do, is just unexpectedly take you to a deep place.